This morning we return again to Calvary. We've taken some time these last few weeks to spend some time at Calvary before we get to Easter. And we've decided that it's important for us to take that journey and to spend some time there so that we can not only see what Jesus did, but that we could hear what Jesus said. And so we return this morning to hear him once again. We come back to Calvary, where they hung him high and stretched him wide. His father turned away, and his mother cried. His enemies mocked him. His friend stood beside. The crowd cheered, and the soldiers jeered. But he never replied. False leaders were relieved and faithful followers were terrified. A perfect sacrifice was required and only he was qualified. The lamb was slain and God's wrath was satisfied. The sun went out and darkness was applied. They ripped his body and pierced his side. One thief believed, the other denied. Angels wept, demons tried to hide. Sin was atoned, sinners justified. So men could live, the Savior died. As we return to see him on the cross, we hear him speak again. We hear this time the voice of the thirsty Savior. If you have your copy of Scripture with you, we're going to be in John 19. I'd invite you to join us there in John chapter 19 as we hear the thirsty Savior. In the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning at verse 28, after this, knowing that all things had already been accomplished in order that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he said, "I am thirsty." A jar full of sour wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it to his mouth. It says, after these things, after what things? After they hung him on the cross and he looked out at the crowd and he said, "Father, forgive them." After he looked to his side and saw the thief there and he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Then he looked down and he saw his mother. Said, "Woman, behold your son. John, behold your mother." And then the lights went out. And he was alone. And instead of looking out at the crowd or looking across at the thief or down at his mother, he apparently looked up. "My God, my God. Why have you forsaken me?" And for 3 hours, creation refused to look upon the Creator, and he hung in darkness. After those things, it says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things had already been accomplished, in that 3 hours of separation from the Father, in that darkness, in that time, all things had been accomplished. And that, by the way, was the last 3 hours of the full 6 hours that he hung there. And after hanging there, the Bible says the veil was torn in two. Now people had access to God. And Jesus, after 6 hours on the cross, says, I'm thirsty. Notice this is the fifth time that he's spoken. And it's not until this time that he says anything at all about his own suffering. He was worried about those in need of forgiveness. He was worried about the thief on his way to paradise. He was worried about his mother. And then that fourth cry was a cry of anguish for the soul. This is his first cry of anguish for his body, the suffering that he endured. We understand why he said this statement. One is clear, just because he simply was thirsty. He hung on the cross from 9 until noon in the sun, naked, dehydrated, blood taking fluid from the body. It's actually amazing that he was able to go 3 more hours after that before saying, I'm thirsty. He said it because he was thirsty. He also said it to fulfill Scripture. It says here, after this, knowing all things had become accomplished in order that Scripture might be fulfilled, he said, I am thirsty. By fulfilling Scripture, he points men to the reality that he is Messiah and he has died on their behalf. But I think another reason that we have this statement on record is because it shows us his humanity. It shows us that he was God, but he was man. In Hebrews chapter 2, it says, for surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. That's us. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. Understand that. It is a mystery that the Son of God is also the Son of Man. If you look through the Gospels and you see how he referred to himself when he spoke to people, he talked about himself as the Son of Man. He was identifying with us. He was fully human in every way in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. You see, he had to be fully human if he was going to be the perfect human sacrifice. If he was going to die in our place, he had to be like us. Therefore, he became fully human, and humans get thirsty. And his cry from the cross, I'm thirsty, reminds us of his humanity. As God, he lived in heaven with the Father. As a human, he came down to the world. As God, he ruled over the angels and he guided the destinies of men and nations, had all power of heaven and earth. As a human, he lived an earthly life and he talked and laughed and wept and had all the human impulses. As God, he walked upon the waters and stilled the stormy seas. He cast out demons, healed the sick, and raised the dead. As human, he hungered and thirsted and suffered pain. He was tempted in all points like we are, and he felt all the emotions of men. As human, he wept at the grave of Lazarus. As God, he called Lazarus back to life. As human, he was a servant. As God, he was king. And now we can even see it on the cross. Because as God, he said to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. As human, he said, I'm thirsty. We return to Paul's explanation of what this is all about. We return to hear him speak again. And we hear our Savior speak a word that is a cry of victory. Now, when we read it, you're going to wonder what's victorious. Let me show you. In John 19, we continue right where we were. In verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. Bowed his head, gave up his spirit. And you say, well, it's finished. It's done. How can that be victory? When we see the words, we think he says, my life is over. It's finished. But that's not at all what he meant. When he said it is finished, for us in that translation, it takes three words. It is finished. When he spoke it, it was one word. The Greek is to telestai. It's an awesome word. If you and I conducted business, I provided for you goods or services, you paid me, I would write on that bill of sale or a receipt to telestai. It meant paid in full. It's done. When Jesus hung on that cross, he looked out and he said, forgive them. He looked over and he said, you're going to be with me in paradise. He looked down and he said, John, take care of mama. He looked up, he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then he looked in and he said, I'm thirsty. And then he looked out to the whole world and he said, folks, it's done. In just a moment, when we look at the final word, we're going to see where it says he cried out with a loud voice. And what that means is he still had power. He still had strength. Or he could not have cried out with a loud voice in just a moment. This is not the last whimpering cry of a defeated one. This is not his last effort to get out enough breath to say, I quit. This is a declaration. This is a profound statement of victory. I have accomplished my task. It is finished. I did what I came to do. It is finished. The debt has been paid in full. It is finished. He'd already been through the darkness of separation from the Father. Sin had already been atoned for. He then, after atonement, after taking care of us, he then acknowledges his humanity. Man, I'm thirsty. And then he says, but I've done it. It's finished. It was a cry, a shout, if you will, of victory. To telestai. It's done. By his blood, he paid the price for all of sin, of all of humanity, of all time, if they would only receive that gift of grace. How much more then will the blood of Christ cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? And then we hear our Lord speak the final word. That has more than one meaning in that it is not only the last thing he said, but it was the final word of authority. The last thing that must be said to accomplish all that was to be accomplished. In Luke chapter 23 at verse 46, Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He speaks with authority. You could not say that today. You cannot command your spirit hither, there, or yon. He could speak with authority. He said, now that I've accomplished all that I'm to accomplish, it is finished. Because it is finished, he cried out with a loud voice, not giving up, not barely breathing, not just in weakness, but with a loud voice, with authority, he spoke the final word. And he said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Understand that he was in charge from the beginning to the end. Don't ever misunderstand and think that the Romans were in charge of Jesus on that day. Don't ever be mistaken and think that the Jewish rulers were in charge of Jesus on that day. Don't ever make the mistake of thinking that Satan was in charge of Jesus that day. Jesus was in charge on that day. Because in John chapter 10, he told the people with that same conversation where he said, I'm the good shepherd. He said, God has given me authority to lay down my life and to take it up again. He laid down his life. It was not taken from him. He gave it willingly. That's why he, now that he has accomplished it, he can say, into thy hands I commit my spirit. He's in charge from beginning to end. Understand that what happened on Calvary was not that they got him. What happened on Calvary was that he gave himself. Don't ever forget the love that he had for us. Don't ever forget that he gave his life that we might live. And when it was done, he was able to say clearly, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. What a beautiful sound that must have been again to be able to say, Father. You remember last time he addressed God, he didn't call him Father. It was in that time of separation, that time of atonement. He was my God. The time of atonement has passed. That has been accomplished. The God the Father and God the Son have been restored. And now it's Father, I'm coming home. It was the final word. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving us that much. Thank you that before we deserved it, you provided it. Before we could understand it, you accomplished it. Father, we're grateful that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That ought to change us inside, God. It ought to change how we see the world, how we see ourselves, how we view eternity. It ought to change us. Lord, help it to do that right now. Don't let any one of us leave this room different, the same. Don't let any one of us leave the same as we were before we heard the words from Calvary, before we remembered through the Lord's Supper, before we were reminded of Jesus' love. Don't let us leave the same. Lord, as you do that work in our hearts, if we realize that we need to do business with you, if we need to accept Christ or make some other decision, help us to be clear on it and give us courage, we pray. In Jesus' name.